This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers. Waddle's on our board today, also screening your phone calls at 877-881-1053. You can also fan text us at 43733, and you can even call AutoFlex.
That's right, at either 817 or 972-234-1234. You can also reach us online at AutoFlex.com, and I've got to mention two things. AutoFlex.com is a brand new website, so you can go check it out. It's pretty cool. And you can also follow all the stories we're going to do on the air today and a lot of other auto news by going to the AutoFlex Facebook page. Click on the icon or just go to Facebook and search out AutoFlex and like us, and you can see all of these great stories right there.
And Facebook got a revamp this week.
They did, and I'm not sure I like it. The other thing is all of our pre-owned cars,
yes,
which we'll talk about later in the show, are on the website.
All right, got lots of good stuff coming your way today, including Ted Hernandez from the Department of Motor Vehicles coming up about 9:15.
Yeah, Ted is a special investigator with the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles, and Ted specializes in title and odometer fraud. So we're going to be talking about how our listeners can protect themselves against odometer fraud and what to look for to make sure the title is good on that pre-owned car they're getting.
But first, let's start with a little Willie Nelson.
Well, you know, it's a smoking deal, they say. Willie Nelson's Willie Nelson, one of his tour buses is going for sale. And they say it's an 86 Model 10 motor coach, which means basically it's a converted Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm.
It includes beds for six, two lounge areas, hand-painted murals by the artist Rainmaker. It also has room to stash 330 cubic feet of luggage. Do you think that's all that's been stashed in that bus?
I doubt it.
Yeah. And you can pack 130 gallons of diesel in case you're going on a long trip. So if you're interested in buying one of Willie's old buses, which I'm going to guess is in pretty good shape, other than the smell, you can get that through the Toronto Auto Auction, and it's going to be on sale October 21st through October 23rd is when it's going to be offered.
Does it run on biofuel?
No, it doesn't. Those are the newer buses that do that. This is a diesel.
He did, though, have a bunch of scandals with buses. I wonder if this is one of them.
Well, they kept pulling his bus over and busting him for pot. Like, mm-hmm, that was some kind of surprise.
Right.
Anyway.
So that's pretty cool if you're a classic car collector.
Yeah.
And you're a Willie Nelson fan. You could get one of his old tour buses.
Exactly. Getting on to the real news of the automotive business. The White House has proposed that banks pay for any shortfalls that came from the auto bailout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is pretty revolutionary. The administration wants to cut its deficit by more than $3 trillion over 10 years. And as part of that, they want to enact something called the Financial Crisis Responsibility Fee, a fee, which would raise $30 billion over 10 years from the banks that they bailed out at the same time they were bailing out the automotive business.
Who pays the fee?
Well, I don't know. It's according to who banks at those banks. Do you bank at a bank?
I do.
Well, if they pay the fee, you're going to.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how that works. Anyway, the government has no money unless they take it from someone.
Good
they don't.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, it looks like they're looking at... The other thing that I noticed in the story that was sort of interesting is they had originally said that we were going to lose, you know, $30 billion. Now they're up to about $40 billion that we're going to lose.
You know what I've never understood? If we owe ourselves money, why can't we just wipe the slate clean?
Well, we owe a lot of other people money.
But if the budget and the national deficit is because we owe ourselves, I mean, maybe we could pay everybody else off and then
no,
we got to
pay yourself
fresh?
Back just like you got to pay everybody else back. So, but what we've done recently is print money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective.
Well, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway. Not printing money?
Yeah, yeah, not printing more money.
Mm.
Okay, if you drive a Jeep Liberty SUV, the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration is intensifying their probe into 200,000 Jeep Liberties. It seems that if you're driving one of these cars, or if you've bought one of these cars and it came from the Rust Belt, which is the states, the 21 Salt Belt states all across the North and Northeast, and they call them the Salt Belt or the Rust Belt because they salt the roads up there during the winters to keep the ice off the roads, which is a pretty amazing thing. There's mountains of salt that they used to do this
with. So which states would be part of the Salt Belt?
Ohio, New York, all the northern states, North Michigan, all of those states up in there, probably all the way across. There's 21 of them, so that's a big bunch of northern America.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, I arrived in St. Louis one time to go to a class up there, and we were driving there, and there were these gigantic mounds, I mean really gigantic mounds, the size of football stadiums, covered with plastic.
What is that?
It was salt.
Wow.
They keep it all year round, and then in the winter, they apply it to the streets. But what that does is it causes corrosion, especially on the underside of cars. And on these Jeep Liberties, the rear control arms are starting to fail because of the corrosion. In other words, they're losing stability on the rear control arms.
Ooh, not good.
So there have been 22 complaints so far. Chrysler admits that they've already had a number of warranty instances where they've warranted out these rear control arms that have failed because of the salt. So if you're driving a Liberty, and it was made in 2004 or 2005, those are the main years, you might get it in and have your Jeep dealer check that so you can find out if you've got any problems.
The good thing is we don't have to worry about a lot of salted roads here.
No.
We like to throw mud on them.
Last year it might have been.
That's true.
Last year it might have been. Let's talk a little bit about Autoflex this morning because every once in a while, things get to be really, really good for one side or the other, the buyer side or the seller side. Sometimes it works really good, but not often, for both sides. Now is one of those times.
Oh, I like that. So that's good news for everybody.
Well, here's the thing. We have not had enough sport utility vehicles to sell for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep going up in price because there's a lack of 2007, 2008, especially 2008, 2009 sport utility vehicles, Tahoes, Expeditions, Explorers, 4Runners, good cars, great cars, Highlanders. But there's not many of them out there because when the automotive business slowed down, they quit selling them. When they quit selling them, that means that the ones they didn't sell are no longer in the market as a used car right now. So there's a real shortage of those cars. So what we did this last 2 weeks, we started contacting all of our people that we had leased those cars to,
mm-hmm.
to let them know that they could probably trade out of their cars very early and come and get a new car with a new warranty. And a lot of them have taken advantage of that. Now, let me tell you what that's done for the buyer. The buyer is now able to come and get those cars from Autoflex that we have taken off lease at a much reduced price rather than us having to go to auction to buy those cars. Because at auction, they're selling for a lot more than we're having to pay for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's done is it's created a great buyer's market if you're considering an SUV or a pickup truck, because we looked at pickup trucks also, and the pickup trucks that we had out in leases were a lot less expensive than the ones we would have to buy at auction. Again, there's a shortage. So if you're thinking about an SUV or you're thinking about a pickup, you might go to the website. Some of them are up on the website, but since we've just been trading for a lot of them in the last week or so, a lot of them aren't. So you'll need to give one of our offices a call, tell them what you're looking for, and Tahoe, Expedition, F-150, Silverado, Ram pickup, give them a call, and we will have something that'll be a real, real bargain for you. And a lot of these cars still have factory warranty left on them. Again, we took people out of them early, so the miles are in good shape, and they're just great vehicles, and it's a great time for both us and our customers.
And the beauty of it is, as David just said, is Autoflex deals with every make and every model. So if you're maybe thinking of a Toyota 4Runner versus a Nissan Murano, then you can go and drive both of them and compare them side by side, see which features work best for you, and figure out what's going to suit your needs the most. So if you want to call Autoflex, 817 or 972-234-1234 are the phone numbers. Also, the website, new and improved, autoflex.com.
That's right. And speaking of websites, AutoWeek, and if you're a subscriber to AutoWeek, I subscribe to AutoWeek because it's a really, really good car publication, sort of for pure car guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have got a new website coming out that's going to be interactive with their readers. And it's going to allow readers to post information about the cars that they're driving, the cars that they want. It's going to link to a Twitter page and a Facebook page, so you can post and read what other people are writing about the car. And you can also ask questions and get answers from all over the country right in one place. So I thought that was pretty exciting for the automotive business and for Auto Week. And it's a good publication.
That is neat. Kind of all-encompassing. What's the website we've talked about before where everybody, it's made up by consumer reviews? And it's not biased in any way. It's just what people have experienced when they've driven that car.
TrueCar.com.
TrueCar.com. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. You can go on there and also check out what they say about your car.
Well, and here's what you have to do with them. You have to give them the make, model, and VIN number of your car so they know you're real. Mm-hmm. And then they will provide feedback for everyone else that drives that exact same car.
So that's the kind of information you get right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. We're going to take a quick break, but coming up next, we will check in with Ted Hernandez, find out how to keep your odometer from getting hacked into. Stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah. Damn this traffic jam.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This traffic jam. Time I get home, my
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame and me, Sybil Summers. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, or your fan texts at 43733. And you can even call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you're out of the area.
All right. It's one of the big things that's happening right now, odometer fraud. Let's welcome to the show Ted Hernandez, who's an investigator for the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. Ted, can you help us figure out how to get beyond this?
Morning, Ted.
How you doing this morning?
I'm good. Ted is with the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles as an investigator. He's also on the national board of the National Odometer and Title Fraud Enforcement Association, and that's where I found the information on Investigator Hernandez. When I went through their, when I was reading up on odometer fraud, and I went through their national board and realized we had a Texan on the national board. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Thank you very much for having me.
I know odometer fraud and title fraud is a big issue in the automotive business because we deal with it on a regular basis, but it looks like we're certainly not the only ones. It looks like it's fairly well nationwide.
It is nationwide, and also it's also worldwide. You have odometer fraud taking place in Canada. Matter of fact, you got it taking place in Australia. I just read an article from Australia where a guy rolled back a vehicle 115,000 kilometers, and he got prosecuted for it.
Good. When did your organization first become active in the search and prosecution of odometer fraud?
It started in the late 80s, early 90s, is that in 1986 is when the federal government mandated that all titles conform to each other, that they all basically reported the mileage of the vehicle from the previous owner when it was the vehicle's being traded or sold to another buyer.
Gotcha. And where do you find the most rollback incidents? Where does it occur the most?
You know, that's hard to say because it happens pretty much all over the state of Texas. I mean, it's not just in a big, like a Dallas or Houston or San Antonio or Austin. It happens in McAllen. It happens in Lubbock. It happens in Big Springs, you know, small towns. Matter of fact, it happens in Tyler, you know, a little small town like Tyler.
Right.
It happens over there. We do see and it sort of goes in waves. You'll see a big influx, say, in the Dallas area. Then it'll taper down, and then you'll see it pick up in Houston. And just like, I mean, it's just like a wave. It'll just go up and down in different areas.
How are most instances of tampering discovered?
Most of the time, it is actually consumers, or the actual what happens is the title clerks from the different counties. When you do your title processing,
mm-hmm.
they'll notice something that is not right on the title. As far as the looks like the mileage had been altered, or something has been altered on the title. So they'll contact us. The state has is what we call a red flag program, and what it is specifically for the tax offices. If they suspect any type of title fraud or odometer fraud, they're to notify us by submitting the documents to us, and then we review them and look at them real closely and scrutinize them real close and determine whether or not anything has been altered on that title, or if the mileage has been altered. And we do our research, you know, we'll basically backtrack the vehicle from the birth to where it's at now.
Okay, and another question. You know, you talked about mileage being taken off of a car. Does anybody ever add mileage to a car?
Actually, prior to about a month ago, I have never found anybody who's done that. But I got contacted by an auto auction that they caught a guy that was actually rolling odometers forward in order to put more mileage on the vehicle. So when it went to auction, you know, obviously you're not going to buy the high mileage vehicle. So he would end up buying it. Of course, they rolled it back to what he wanted it on the vehicle. And they actually caught him doing that in the auction. So they basically, the auction did was they can no longer carry any type of machines to check the car and like that, because that's how they're doing it, is get into the computer system.
So it was an actual auction, an employee of an auction that did it?
No, actually it was a buyer.
Okay.
It was a wholesale buyer that was, you know how you go to the auctions and the day before you have an opportunity to go look at the vehicles.
Sure.
They're going to offer for sale. Well, he was going in there with his odometer alter machine, and he plugged it into the computer and add more miles to the vehicle, add like 100,000 miles to the vehicle. Unplug it. Well, then when it came up to auction, they disclosed the mileage to the buyers. Well, most people don't want high mileage vehicles; they want low mileage. So he'd get the vehicle at a low price. Of course, once he gets it, he rolled it back to where it was at, or rolled it less.
And then it would not show as an odometer fraud on the paperwork, but he would have gotten the car cheaper.
Exactly.
God, that's crazy. We have a fan text. One of our fans is texting in. Is there a certain car that odometer fraud is more common on?
They are right now the smaller cars, because of fuel prices. You're looking, they're targeting more the economical cars, you know, like Hondas, Toyotas, Nissans, Kias, Hyundais, anything that uses less good gas mileage. Those are the ones they're targeting right now. But they're still targeting pickups, SUVs, and high-end vehicles.
We're talking to Investigator Ted Hernandez from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, Investigator Hernandez, whenever somebody finds out that they've been hacked, what do they need to do?
They need to contact us. We have on our website at www.txdmv.gov. Just go into our website, and it says Trailer and Vehicle Dealers. If you click on that little link there, it will take you to another link, and you'll look for consumer complaints and just notify us. Now, we deal with mostly licensed car dealers. We deal some with unlicensed car dealers, but if it's a deal with an individual, we will work it, but then we'll try to get the local authorities to handle the prosecution of it, because it's harder to prosecute an individual because unless you can actually witness that they actually roll back the odometer, they're usually, a lot of times they're going to say, well, that's the way I got the car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, right. Right.
And that's hard to do that, but there's still other ways of tracking the vehicle itself and verifying the mileage itself.
Is there any indicator, or are there ways that a consumer could look at a car and know, or maybe have an idea, that the odometer had been changed?
Yes, there is. One way is look at the carpet of the vehicle, where the driver's at. Look at the seatbelt, because let's just say the vehicle is being sold to you and it says it has 45,000 miles on it. You look at the carpet, and the carpet looks like that has been worn pretty heavily because of due to the driving, you know, from your heel and the brake pedal, where you've been moving your foot from the brake pedal to the gas pedal.
Yeah.
You'll have that abnormal wear on there. If it only has 45,000 miles on it, it should not have that much wear. If you got a hole in the carpet, or that brake pedal has been worn down pretty bad, or the seatbelt's pretty worn, I would suspect it being tampered with the odometer.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm not sure anybody has ever shared that with us, so that's really good information. And you've already said, and if we could, I'd like to move on to titling, because that is another thing that your investigations are concerned with. And we have seen, I know in our business, we have seen a lot of title fraud over the years. What is the most common kind of tampering or fraud that goes on with an automotive title?
There right now, what's happening right now is there. You got dealers out there, you know, and I'm using dealers because that's who we mainly deal with. Is a lot of dealers, and of course, you got individuals that are. We got a bunch of we call them gypsies that are actually getting into the business of doing this. Also, what they're doing right now is they're going to other states and buying their vehicles. Say, like in Florida, and they're buying a Florida vehicle with that has flood damage. They then get that title, bring it into Texas. Either by using chemicals or other means, they'll remove the salvage brand off the title.
Yeah.
Submit that title to the state of Texas, because currently right now, and it's supposed to here in 2013, Texas is supposed to go online with the Invita system, which is the National Vehicle Title System Service, which is going to be allow all the states to communicate with each other. Currently, the problem is we don't communicate with each other.
Gotcha.
So the Florida vehicle that's been branded as a flood damage, they remove that flood damage, bring that title into Texas. They remove that brand. Well, Texas will issue a clean Texas title because we have no record in our system that vehicle's ever been salvaged.
Right.
When Invitas goes online in Texas, we will have a way of determining, okay, that vehicle was branded in Florida as a flood damage, so we will then brand it in Texas as a flood damage, so prevent a lot of this title washing. I mean, currently not all the states are on board with it. There's probably, I think, like 21 states that are on board with it, and it's actually working real, real well. I was contacted by Indiana about a vehicle that was trying to be titled in Indiana, but it had been we had branded it here in Texas as a rebuilt salvage. Well, they removed the Texas brand, off the title, and were trying to submit it in there, so they contacted me to verify if the information was correct that they had in their system, which I verified that it was correct, that vehicle had been rebuilt, damaged, rebuilt salvage vehicle, so they would brand a vehicle up there also. And the whole purpose of this is if you buy a flood damaged vehicle in Florida, obviously you're going to get it for probably anywhere from three-quarters to half the value of that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can remove that brand and bring it into Texas, Louisiana, California, it doesn't matter where they're not communicating with each other, I just increase the value of that vehicle back to where it would normal price of that vehicle be. Let's just say the vehicle is worth $20,000. It's branded as salvage, so you're probably going to end up buying it for $5,000, $6,000. Well, I buy it for that much. I remove that brand. Now I just increase the value back to $20,000, so I just doubled the money I made on that vehicle.
Yeah. Another fan texter, Inspector Hernandez, that says, is there a way to track mileage via the yearly vehicle inspection? In other words, if he was wanting to purchase a vehicle, could he go back through the inspections through the state of Texas to see if the miles were recorded properly?
Actually, there is a way, because if the city, like Austin, Dallas, Houston, I believe El Paso is getting ready to go online, where there are emission counties, where they're required to have an emissions inspection, all that mileage is recorded by DPS, and that mileage is goes into the system, and we use that very frequently, especially in those areas where are emission counties,
mm-hmm.
to track the mileage, because they'll record the mileage of the vehicle when it's being inspected and when it's being turned over to new inspection being issued to that vehicle. That's one way of doing it. Now, what's important to know is that all that information is good information, but it's only as reliable as people who put it into the system. You know, the reason I'm saying that is because if you go, and I'm not trying to knock any business.
Sure.
I'm just going to make up a business. ABC Oil Change. Okay. I run ABC Oil Change and I do inspections. Well, I hire some young guys, you know, high school guys, maybe college guys that are working there. And they're not really paying attention to what they're putting in the computer as far as mileage. Say you brought your vehicle in with 50,000 miles on it, and they're not paying attention, and they punch in 90,000 miles in the computer. Well, that's what's going to get recorded, even though your vehicle only has 50,000 miles in it shown on the odometer. So the mileage itself is not going to be set, because next time you get it inspected, they're going to put the correct mileage in there, and you're going to have a problem with it. They're not the same, because you got one. At one time, the vehicle had 30, now it has 90, now it's back down to 60.
Yeah.
You're going to have a problem there.
Let me. I'd like to finish up on this question with you after the break, if we could. Can you hold with us through the break, Inspector?
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more Investigator Ted Hernandez from the DMV and Saturday Morning Test Drive coming up next.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame and me, Sybil. Got about 30 minutes left for you to get your phone calls in. Right now's a good time if you have a question for Investigator Ted Hernandez and you want to call and ask about odometer fraud. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. You can also fan text us your questions at 43733. And if you want to call AutoFlex right now, lots of pre-owned SUVs and pickups available. What are those phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234.
All right, let's jump back into it. We've been talking to Investigator Hernandez from the DMV, finding out what to do if your car has been hacked as far as your odometer goes. Somebody got in there, rolled back the mileage, or washed the title, and he's been helping us out with that.
Investigator, back to our original, or the question we were working on, what happens to an individual? What do you do if you find out that your odometer has had a mistake made, and so it shows not to be accurate when you believe it is accurate? How do you fix that?
The best thing to do is prior to leaving your book, the oil change place or inspection place, and they have the wrong mileage in there, is have them correct the mileage. Say, wait a minute, you entered the wrong information. I need you to correct it. Now, there are other services out there like AutoCheck and Carfax, which are good services. But like I said, back to the situation, is all they're only as good as the information they purchase. I've worked closely with AutoCheck and Carfax. Whenever I find mistakes in the system, I'll contact them, and they're very good about correcting the information. I'll give them the evidence that the information is incorrect, and they'll go ahead and correct it.
Oh, that's good. And speaking of AutoCheck and Carfax, that sort of dovetails into my next question. Is that how people should get a copy of their title history? Is that the easiest way, is to Carfax or AutoCheck the car?
No, actually, the title history stuff, you're going to have to go through the Department of Motor Vehicles, Vehicle and Title Registration Office. That's where you'll get the title history itself. The Carfax and AutoCheck are strictly a history of the vehicle that these companies buy information from Jiffy Lube, car dealers, transmission shops, any body shops. They buy their information from there. Matter of fact, from the state of Texas, they'll buy information when the vehicle's registration renewed or the title's been transferred to somebody else. They'll buy that information from us, and we'll sell it to them, and they'll put it into their system, and basically, so they can track the mileage of a vehicle. It's like I said, it is a good system. Both of them are good systems, but they're not 100% accurate.
Now, a lot of people know about lemon law cars, where someone has compelled the factory to buy the car back from them, and salvage titles. Like you said earlier, you have a car that's been in an accident or repaired or been flooded, and then put back on the market. What should people look for on a title history or on a Carfax report? Are there indicators that may have happened during the car's life?
Yes, in the Carfax or AutoCheck, they will actually flag it as such as an odometer discrepancy, possible odometer fraud. They'll flag it, or is this a lemon law buyback? Now, on the lemon law, there is actually twofold of that, because if a manufacturer, we got to remember it's not the dealer that is actually buying the vehicle back. It's actually the manufacturer that is buying the vehicle back if it's deemed a lemon. Now, if they go through the whole process of claiming a vehicle as a lemon itself, the state then orders them to buy back the vehicle, then the vehicle will be branded as a lemon law buyback. Now, prior to doing that, say they're during the process of working out a lemon law complaint, the manufacturer on its own decides to buy the vehicle back and do a manufacturer buyback, then the vehicle will not be flagged as a lemon law because it was never ordered. It was just basically a manufacturer buyback. And on those there, they're not required to disclose that to you, that it was a manufacturer buyback. They're only required to disclose to you if it's a lemon law buyback.
Does that go for all manufacturers, or are there only certain manufacturers?
All manufacturers.
Okay.
If they decide on their own to buy the vehicle back without the state ordering them to do it, then they're not required to brand the vehicle as a lemon.
If you're looking at a title history and you see that it's moved from one state to another state to another state and then back to the original state within 2 months, 3 months, Is that an indicator of a problem?
I would definitely suspect that. And reason because of that situation is a lot of times they'll move the vehicle through this state, wash the title, take it to another state, and basically to get another title registered in another state with the clean Texas title, and then come back into the state. That is a good indicator that there's something wrong with that vehicle itself, and you need to look into it a lot closer. Get a independent mechanic to check the car. A lot of times you can save yourself a whole lot of grief if you just take it to a third-party mechanic, a mechanic you trust, have them hook it up to the diagnostic machine, and because they're all most cars from 1999 and above all have computers in them, they can tell you whether or not the mileage on that vehicle is correct or not.
Oh.
But there is also machines out there right now that actually can alter the computer memory itself. So, you know, it's a twofold. A lot of times most people are doing is changing out the clusters, basically going to a junkyard, buying a cluster for the same type of vehicle, put it in there with low mileage, and it's in the car. And so that's what, but the computer is still that has the actual reading in there. But you can actually still buy machines that you can hook up and actually override the computer memory.
Well, and I guess to finish up, there are consequences for people that change odometers and that wash titles and change titling. What's the penalty if you get caught rolling an odometer?
Currently, if you get caught rolling back an odometer, it's a state jail felony. What we go after them for is a documentation where they alter the information on the title and turn into a state. That there is a third-degree felony, which is 10 years in the penitentiary and a $10,000 fine. Is what the current third-degree felony charge is.
Wow.
And there are people in my business that I know that have actually gone to jail for that, some car dealers. This is back in the 90s, but there are. What about title changing, washing a title or altering a title? What kind of penalty is there for that?
That is actually a third-degree felony because they're altering the information that is being turned into the state. Basically, we go after them for altering a government document.
Wow. Well, it's not really worth it then, is it?
It's not worth it, you know, because the saying is if you get, and what it is, if I can provide to the federal government, which is NHTSA, is the federal agency that actually prosecutes odometer at a federal level,
mm-hmm.
If I can provide them 50 victims of odometer fraud from one particular individual or dealer, they'll go after them federally and federally charge them with a odometer fraud, which if they go into the federal system, whatever time they get, they're going to do day for day.
Right, yeah, there's no parole.
Nope.
Yep. Well, we really, really appreciate you joining us. Oh, how would someone report, let's cover this again, if you think you're the victim of an odometer change or a title fraud in some way, how would they report it to the state of Texas?
Is they file a complaint form at our website, www.txdmv.gov. Go to the vehicle trailer dealers link, click on that, and it'll take you to consumer complaint form. You fill out that form. You can do it online, fill out the form, and then just save it to your computer and email it to our agency, and then we will do an investigation to it. It's always best to provide us whatever information that you have that makes you suspect that this is an odometer fraud, such as a bill of sale. Say you got a Carfax or auto check or anything that what we want to know what makes you suspect this vehicle has been a problem with the odometer fraud itself.
Gotcha. Is there anything I have left out?
No, nothing at all. And like I said, the only thing I can tell you is that all vehicles are being targeted. I worked a case where a Kenworth semi truck was actually rolled back 400,000 miles.
Oh my gosh!
And what happened? The gentleman bought this vehicle. They rolled back the odometer 400,000 miles. Well, it broke down up in Indiana. Well, when he took it in to get repaired, that's when they told him this car has over this truck has over 1,000,000 miles on it. And he goes, "No, it doesn't. I just bought it, you know." And they go, "No, it does."
Wow! So it can hit anyone at any time.
Yes, and what's always important to remember is if you're buying a vehicle from any car dealer or that is out there, is they're required to allow you to have that vehicle inspected by a third-party individual. If you want to take it to your independent mechanic, have them checked. If they don't want to let you take the vehicle to have it inspected, I would definitely walk off the lot.
Understand.
Good advice.
Thank you, Investigator. We appreciate you joining us on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. We'd like to have you back sometime if you'd agree to come back on.
I'd be more than glad to.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy your weekend. There he goes, Investigator Ted Hernandez from the DMV. Had some really interesting information, didn't he?
Yep.
I liked that. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Sybil Summers, Waddle here for you. Got another 15 minutes left if you want to give us a call or if you want to fan text us at 43733. You can also call Autoflex. Those numbers are
817 or 972-234-1234. And we've got a fan text. I bought a car 3 years ago. I just figured out it was a flooded car. Can I do anything? Yeah, you can contact the Department of Motor Vehicles and let them know that you bought a flood car. If you bought it from a dealer, you probably have recourse. If you bought it from an individual, probably not so much, because you'd have to be able to prove that he knew it was a flood car. And there's ways to spot flood cars. I mean, there's things to look for. But one of the things to watch out for, and we were talking about this in the break, is if a car's too cheap. I mean, if you look at a car, if you look online and they're all $20,000, and you find somebody that's selling one for $15,000, and it appears to be a good mile car, right age, that kind of thing, the same as the other cars, there's a reason. No one loses $4,000 or $5,000 on a car. So you have to, if a car is too cheap, that's when you really, it's not a bargain. I promise you.
The old adage holds true. If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
It probably is, especially in the car business.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Ford. I know they've got some new deals Ford in Europe does anyways.
Well, they've come up with one of the coolest things that I think I've seen in a long time, and it's very simple. It's a door protector that goes on the doors of the car, and they're putting them on the Focuses that are being sold in Europe right now. And when you open your door, a protector comes out from inside the door on the face of the door in the back and wraps around the door edge. And so when you open your door, it doesn't ding your door or someone else's car. And then when you close your door, that same protective edge rolls back in and hides inside the door again.
That's neat.
It's very neat. And it works off of a little cable system that's attached to the hinge on the front of the door. So when you open it, it rolls out automatically. When you close it, it closes automatically. It requires no electric motor. It's just a little hinged kind of a deal. And it works. It really, now, how many people out there have got door dings right now in their cars that wished the car next to them had that?
I have a ding on my car. I don't think it was from a door, but somebody hit me in a parking lot, and I wish they had that on their car.
Yeah, it's just one of those really simple things. Unfortunately, they're only using them on the Focuses they're selling in Europe right now, but they say if it's widely accepted over there, if people really like it, they're going to move it to the North American market.
I bet it will work over here, too.
We have another fan text. If the Bills dominate the Patriots, should I buy or lease a car? Let me think. You should lease your car. Okay.
Lease your car.
Anyway. Also from Ford, and we talked about this a few months ago, and now it's come to fruition. The Ford Sync system is now going to include live operators so that if the nav system can't find the location you're looking for, or if you're having trouble finding a business or whatever part of the service that you're trying to use, you can actually contact a live operator who will assist you in your whatever you're trying to do. And it comes standard with the Ford Sync system, which comes standard for, I believe, 3 years when you buy a new Ford.
So there's not an additional charge if you use the operator?
Well, there is if you use it after your free subscription is expired.
Oh, okay.
But before that, no, there's no charge.
That's great.
Yeah, and it is really cool. Maybe that'll help with distracted driving a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Although, and we've talked about this, I'm not sure why you get nav on a car anymore, because your phone nav is probably much better than the nav in the car,
right,
no matter what kind of car it is, because your phone nav is updated regularly. It's a satellite nav. It's got all the new streets. Nothing is more frustrating for me than putting in a street and it telling me the address doesn't exist because the street's been built in the last year or something.
Right.
So anyway, but the new Sync system now comes with a person. Okay, Velocity TV. If you're a Discovery Channel watcher, and I am, they've got something that's going to be replacing HD Theater on your cable or satellite dial, and it's going to be called Discovery Velocity TV. And it is a sports, fast car, cool kind of show. I mean, cool kind of network. They're going to start out with 140 hours of original shows. It's going to include Inside West Coast Customs, Makem Car Auction, Classic Cars, Chasing Classic Cars, American Icon with Chip Foose, a lot of great car shows. It's going to be coming on, like, American Icon is going to be Tuesday at 9 and 9:30, and it's going to follow the evolution of production cars built to dominate on the street. So it's going to go back to the old, the great muscle car age, the 60s and the 70s, the late 50s. They're going to start with Hot Rod, actually, and go all the way through until the first gas crisis when they stop building cool cars. Anyway, and then other shows, they're going to have Tech Toys, What's My Car Worth, Cafe Racer, which is a motorcycle show that follows motorcycle builders all over the United States, England, and in Italy as they work for the very perfect motorcycle. It's also going to have NFL shows. NFL single coverage and greatest NFL rivalries, both produced by NFL Films. The single coverage show is the one that interests me because it's going to go in and it'll like target two players, maybe a wide receiver and a defensive back, and it's going to mic them during a football game.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's going to concentrate just on the relationship and how those guys play against one another. Also, the greatest NFL rivalries, it's going to take two teams. Let's say the Cowboys and the Redskins. Let's say that. And it's going to concentrate on the matchup between those two teams in history and show all the great games. So anyway, that's going to be on the Discovery Velocity TV network, and it's going to launch October the 4th, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm surprised they're mixing cars and sports, but I guess they had to do something to get away from being just another speed channel.
It's a guy's channel.
That's what it is.
It's a guy's channel.
Sounds like it.
And finally, to wrap up, police in Roseville, Michigan arrested a 24-year-old roofer and charged him with reckless driving because he hit four cars. It seems he noticed that his brakes had failed, but he didn't really want to get them fixed right away, so he thought he had put his foot out, his left foot out the door, and stop his car manually.
Oh, no, like Flintstone style?
It's sort of like a Flintmobile. Yeah, yeah. And he did, in fact, hit four cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprising thing was that he passed a sobriety test.
What in the world?
So he was just off on his own doing that.
Did it rip his foot off?
I think he slowed down when he hit those four cars.
Oh, my gosh.
That's an amazing braking kind of a system. Anyway, how is that a sport channel? Text question. Well, because they have things on sports. Okay. If you're in the market for a car, you need to give us a call at Autoflex. If you're thinking about leasing a new car, especially a 2012, you're going to find that we have the best deals out there. If you're looking for a pre-owned SUV or pickup truck right now, we've probably got the best supply around, certainly at the best price. So there's some bargains to be had there. And always, If you have credit that has been damaged by the economy the last couple of years, we have Autoflex 2, both our locations, Arlington and Richardson, where you can go in, meet with an Autoflex leasing specialist, and they will help you work through your credit issues, get you into a great car you can afford at a payment that you like.
Another fan text here, my 09 Ford Focus, I think there might be an issue with the ignition. When I put the key in halfway to start it, then pull the key out, it stays running. Is this a known problem with the Ford Focus?
I don't know, but I'll find out for you.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you want to give me a call on Monday, I'll know that. You may be able to, if that's me, I go online to Ford Focus groups, because there are groups online that deal with that, and if it is a known problem, it will be in one of those groups of Ford Focus owners.
There you have it. All right, well, we'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But in the meantime, you can still call Autoflex. They're open all day for you. As David just said, the phone number is 817 or 972-234-1234. Again, right now they have a lot of pre-owned SUVs and pickup trucks available. Every make, every model. So if you're going back and forth between a couple of different ones, you can always go test drive both of them and see which one works best for you. Also, autoflex.com. You can click on the Facebook link, follow along with all the stories we talked about here on the show.
One last fan text. Do dealerships roll back miles on new cars that have been used for test driving? No, absolutely not. Dealerships, car dealers are smarter than that. They don't do that. They work very hard to make sure that everything is right on everything that they do. They're good business people.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, it's Chris Arnold. Thanks to Waddle on the Board. For David Blassingame, my name is Sybil Summers. We'll see you back here next weekend. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.